So yeah, man, I can have y'all seats. Wow, that was powerful, yo. That saxophone, man. That solo, man. That was powerful, man. Like, I used to always want to play the saxophone, violin, trumpet when I was younger, because I was like, I used to always want to play that kind of stuff, because I used to always want to play the instruments that you can feel, you know? Like, when you play it, every note you hit, it impacts your soul. That's the kind of music that I used to like, I used to love to play, you know what I'm saying? That's the kind of music I like to make right now. But yeah, man, that was, the anointing was flowing through you, man. Today, man, you're anointed, man. God bless you, man. But yeah, man, today, my message is on, I call it the 31 Kings, representing sin. So, what happened was, I had started, my friend from Orlando sent me an email, and she said that she wanted us to start this program, and she called it B90X. Yeah, everybody know what the P90X is, right? The workout, P90X. Yeah, so she said, she called it B90X, and what it was the Bible in 90 days. So every day she would have scriptures lined up for us to read, chapters lined up for us to read, and I would just read, you know what I'm saying, my own time, I would just read that kind of stuff. And like, I started in Joshua, and as I'm reading, man, does anybody here not know who Joshua was? Raise your hand if you don't know who Joshua was. Okay. So Joshua was an aide of Moses. He led some battles for Moses in the Old Testament. And after Moses passed away, God anointed him to be the leader over Israel after that. You know, and he said, every promise that I made to Moses, I now make it to you. Every single promise. And one of the promises that he made that really stuck out to me, he said that wherever the soles of your feet have touched has been given unto you. Any part of the land. So I'm like, wow, yo. Somebody say favor. That's favor, man. Every point that the soles of his feet touched has been given unto him. That's powerful right there. That's like, you can go anywhere. You can go to McDonald's, yo. I want everything on the menu. The Bible says, you know what I'm saying? I own this right here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like. So like, I'm like, wow, man, God gave him all this favor, man, and all these things, and God gave him all these things. My mind just went blank for some reason, I don't know why. But yeah, he gave him so much favor, and Joshua was so blessed, to the point where anybody that ever came against Israel, God would automatically hand them into his hand. Automatically. Can we turn to Joshua 1, verse 3? Joshua 1, verse 3. Amen, amen. It's Kate and New King James Version. Yeah. Every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So, all the promises that he made to Moses, he has made to him. Now, like, Joshua came and he started, and he had to go and do some battles, like some battles. You know what I'm saying? The first battle, he was commander of the army, and the first battle he had to go against was against Jericho, the walls against Jericho. Now, God gave him specific directions. Now, whenever God calls somebody to do something, he gives you specific directions on how to do it, when to do it, why to do it. No, he doesn't tell you exactly why to do it this way, but he expects you to walk in that faith. That's why it says you walk by faith, not by sight. So God gave him specific directions. He said, I have given the land of Jericho unto you. Now what you are to do is take priests, put the priests in front of you with trumpets, and in front of them, put like the infantryman, the man with the swords. So he told him to go around the walls of Jericho for 7 days and scream. He told him to go around it once the first 6 days and seven times the seventh day. But he also told him, I have given them unto you, but when you go in there, do not take anything. Do not take anything for yourselves. Everything in that land is cursed. And if you take it for yourself and you take it back to the camp, you don't only curse yourself, you curse the camp too. And that's the thing, like people don't realize that a lot of things you do, your actions don't just affect you. Your actions don't, you know? So they walked around there the 7 days and they screamed, like God told them to walk around there 7 days, and on the seventh day, alarm the trumpets and scream, and the walls fell down and they took the city. But then the next battle, since Joshua already had been granted that favor, he didn't even like, God didn't say anything to him before he went to the next battle. So he went to the next battle and like, he didn't hear anything from God, but he sent two spies to go check on the next land. And he went and he checked on the next land, and it was only like, I guess it was like, and the spies came back and told him it was only a few, only sent 2,000 to 3,000 soldiers. So they sent 2,000 to 3,000 soldiers, but they lost. They killed those few that they said were over there. They killed 36 men, 36 Israelites. And the thing is, this was unheard of, because whenever a child of God, whenever Israel went up against somebody, they always won, with hardly any casualties at all. So when 36 men got killed and they came fleeing back, and he sent 2,000, 3,000 men, Joshua knew there was something had to be wrong. Somebody did something wrong. So he went and he cried out to God. God, I thought you said, that you handed them into my hand and all this kind of stuff. And God said, I was going to, but Achan, somebody in your tribe took something that was cursed. So now all of Israel is cursed. He said, what you have to do is seep him out and kill him. So the penalty, you know, guys, the crazy thing about the Old Testament is that the penalty for sin in the Old Testament was death. It was death. It was no second chances, nothing. It was death. You defy God, you die. You know, this was his holy nation. It's supposed to be set apart. You're not supposed to act like everybody else. That's why when they did something of the world, they had to be eliminated. Because, like I said, he brought that cursed thing into the camp. He cursed everything. So if you bring them cursed habits of the world into the camp, you cursed everything. So God tells him. So God tells him, somebody in your camp took something from the land that I told him not to take. So he goes through all the tribes, and then from the tribes, he gets it down to one tribe, and he goes through all the families. From the family, he gets to one family, and he goes to all the siblings, and he found that one guy, and this guy was burnt alive. It set him on fire. And then Joshua put on his game face, like, it's time, you know what I'm saying? And he just went out, and he just started just winning battles like crazy, just winning battles, you know what I'm saying? Every land that they would even think about conquering, God would just, Joshua would just look up to God, and God would just be like, I've handed him into your hand, go take it. I've handed him into your hand, go take it. Go take it, go take it. It came to the point where he defeated 31 kings. I'm defeating 31 kings. That's a lot. And they were so powerful that after he defeated the first 15 individually, all right? And then the last 11 had to group together. And the Bible says that the last 11 kings grouped together, and their men were as numerous as grains of sand. Now imagine you walking out on the battlefield and you see, like, let's say you guys ever been on the Flagler Bridge over there before you go to Flagler Beach, and you're on top of that bridge and all you see is water. Imagine being on the top of that bridge and all that water was all soldiers. That's how many soldiers were out there, even more. But the thing is, though, Joshua looked to God, and God was like, I've handed him into your hand already. And the thing is, God would fight the battles. Sometimes God would fight the battles for them. Like, those soldiers charged towards them, and God sent hail from the sky. Instantly, big balls of hail just bang, bang, hitting all the soldiers, and none of the Israelites were killed at all. Against millions of soldiers, none of the Israelites were even touched. And that's the crazy thing about it. So then, after Joshua conquered all the 31 kings, Israel, they didn't really have any more battles, but God told them it was more land to be taken. But God gave them some rules. He said, He said, you guys do not defy me. Look at all the things I've done. Because he brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt. They were in slavery. They were like being beat down and all that kind of stuff. And he brought them out of that. He provided them food. He provided them. They were winning battles. They were doing anything they ever needed. God provided for them. Everything they ever needed, their peace, their joy, everything. They did not lack anything at all. So God's one commandment, God had two commandments for them. He said, do not turn your backs on me and worship other gods. And he said, follow all my commandments. Those are just only the two things. But the thing is, Joshua died. And along with him, all the elders of the land died that had seen what God has done for them. So the Israelites turned their backs on God. And God warned and God told them, since you turn your backs on me, after, like I've commanded your fathers and I told your fathers, I promised them this, that if you turn your backs on me, I will give you into the hands of the gods you worship. So they are worshiping the gods of Baals, and God will give them. It's like, oh, okay, you wanna go worship them gods? All right, go ahead. Let's see what they do for you. And you know what happened? They would go into slavery. They would be beaten up. They would be beaten down. They would be burned alive. They would be hanged. All these things would happen to the Israelites. And it would be like, and then they would cry out to God. And God just loves his people so much. God heard their cry, and he raised somebody up to deliver them. He had to raise, and this thing kept happening. And after he raised that one person up to deliver them, and they died, and off with their generation died, the Israelites would go back and do it again. Now, I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, wow, this is not about a war. Somebody said, it's not about a war. It's not about no physical war. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, hold on. The Israelites would turn their back on God and worship the God and worship the gods of the people, and the people and the gods that they would worship, God would give them into their hands. So they became a slave to them. It's the God they worship that God would give them into their hands. God would turn their back on them, and they would be under that. And I'm looking at this like, and then God would have to send a redeemer, a deliverer, to come and rescue them, to come and deliver them out. You have to raise them up. And look, it couldn't be no ordinary man. It had to be somebody under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that can do it. That's it. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is the Old Testament. We're now in the New Testament. God wants me to apply this to my life. And then I read Ephesians 6, and like it said, our battles. I'm about to go to it right now. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So this battle was not against men anymore. This battle was not against men anymore. This battle is against sin. This battle is against, this battle is against pain. This battle is against addiction. This battle is against all these things in the world. You know what I'm saying? You could turn to Galatians 5:19. This scripture, I went there and it was like the acts of sinful nature. There's a war going on, and the war is not visible, but you feel it. The war is not visible, but you feel it. And now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness. Go to the next, lewdness. Go to the next one. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Go to the next one. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past time, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You understand that when you turn away from God and you face these sins, you become a slave to them. You guys understand that? When you turn around, let's say you turn from God and you decide to lie to somebody. You become a slave to that lie. And now you have to build another lie on top of that lie, another lie on top of that lie. All you can think about is coming up with another lie. So when the person comes to ask you, you have a lie set up. So you become a slave to that lie until you turn around and you cry out to God and repent and confess of that. And he'll set you free from that. Then you can tell the truth again. And then you can be free. Think about it. Like people that do drugs, it only takes them one time to get hitched. One time. It's like some turn away from God and you turn to that drug, that one time can leave you hitched to the point where you're a slave. You're trying to find ways to get this drug. You can't understand why you need this drug so much, but it's all you can think about. It's all you can think about. You go through, you're walking around, you're like, I need a cigarette. I need some weed. I need the drink. I need all these things. And it's like, why is this happening? Why is this going on? And you can't do it by yourself. That's what God was telling Israel when he sent. He had to raise up a deliverer under the Holy Spirit because they cannot do it by themselves. You cannot do it by yourselves. If you want to stop lying, you cannot do it by yourselves. If you want to stop being addicted to sex, you cannot do it by yourselves. If you want to stop drinking and smoking and all these things that are taking over your life, you cannot do it by yourself. So guess what happened? Guess what happened? God sent a redeemer. And who was that redeemer? Who?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
That's what I'm talking about, Jesus. And then I realized, wow, Jesus. And the thing is, all these deliverers in the Old Testament that God would send, after they would die, the Israelites would forget what God did for them, and they would turn their backs on him. But the thing is, Jesus Christ never died. He died, but he rose again on the third day. But the thing is, he's still living, so you constantly remember what he did for you on that cross. Every sin that you commit, he was whipped for. Every sickness that you have, he was beat for. Every single thing that you're having a problem with, that you're struggling with, he was whipped for, he was beat for, he was hanging on the cross. And you know what? The thing is, he was killed for us. Every lie I tell, every girl I look at in the wrong way, Every time I used to curse, every time, all these things that I used to do, all these sins and things that I even slip up of today, because it's a constant battle. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a never-ending battle until you die. It's a never-ending war. The thing is, once you give in, and like, Jesus, man, he got beat for the things that I did, and he didn't even know me yet. Well, he did know me. But he, like, as the physical and human standpoint, he didn't know me. I wasn't even born. I didn't know him. But he died for me. He died so I can be free. He died so I wouldn't have to lie anymore. He died so I wouldn't have to curse anymore. He died so I can know that life is not all about sex, drugs, and alcohol. He died so I can know that. He died so I can be free from depression, free from sickness, free from poverty, free from all these things that strike our community, that strike our schools, that destroy us. As human beings, he died for that. And you know what? On the cross, he died for all the things that he didn't even do. His life was sinless, spotless. He didn't do anything at all. He was innocent. Every piece of him was innocent. And he died for us. And we spit on him. We kicked him. We did all these things. We looked on him, called him a liar, called him names, blasphemed him. All these things we did to him, and he was just doing it for us so we can be free. And you know what? He looked down on us, and he said, God, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. How many of you can do that? How many of you can do that? Let's say you came to do something for somebody, and while you're doing it, they're constantly bashing you, constantly telling you, constantly calling you names and kicking you and spitting on you and doing all these things, but you're still doing it. But you're still, could you forgive them? Could you forgive them? He forgave us and he died for us. He died so we didn't have to be enslaved to all these things. And the thing is, the war is not fleshly at all. God, like I was, and then I kept reading, and like, I'm like, man, God just wants us to be close to him. God just wants us to live for him, because everything we could ever want and need is in him. He already can supply it. You need joy, he has it. You need to eat, need some food to eat. You need something to drink, he will supply it. Everything, he said, I'll supply all your needs. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Every single thing that you could possibly need, he has waiting to give it to you, but you don't want it. You think you already know what you need. So you constantly chase after all these things, and you figure out it's vanity. And then you get played by these dudes, you get played by these girls, you get played by these drugs, you get played, you go to the parties, and you almost got shot once in New Jersey. Because I went to a party, you know, we used to go to parties all the time. Every weekend we went to a party, you know, and like, I had no idea nobody's going to be having a gun there, you know? Like, I just came to have fun. I just came to dance. You know, I wasn't thinking about drugs or alcohol, none of that kind of stuff. I wasn't thinking about guns or fighting. I was just thinking about a good time. But you know, the devil has a different plan. He'll make it seem so good at the forefront. He'll make it seem so nice, so like. Somebody give me a word. Inviting, yeah. Yeah, he'll make it seem so nice. And then when you get into it, you become enslaved to it and you realize you can't get out. You realize that it's not at all what it seemed to be. This person said they were going to be there for me forever, but they're gone now. They left me. They left me for somebody else. These drugs said, the alcohol and the drugs said they were going to relieve me of my pain, but when I get down off of them, I feel even worse. And the thing is, you can't get, and once you figure out what all these things begin to do to you, you have nowhere to run. You're like, I can't get away. I'm addicted and I can't stop. I can't stop doing this. I can't stop doing this. And that's why Jesus came. He came to set you free from the things that you do not want to do, from the things that are hurting you, the things that are killing you. That's what he came for. That's what he came for. You know, then I read, yeah. Let God speak to you. I said that right there. 2 Peter, let's go to 2 Peter 3:9. Oh man, I read this and this like kind of broke my heart too, man. Yeah, the Lord is not slack in his promises. Hold up, not this one. This one comes next. 2 Samuel 14:14. Oh man. Let's all read it together. For we will surely die and become like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away a life, but he devises means so that his banished ones are not expelled from him. You understand, God is trying to create a plan right now for you to be close to him. God is creating. The reason why all of you are here in these chairs right now is because God wants you close to him. You probably came here for the girls. You probably came here for the guys. You probably came here for another alternative reason. But the real reason why you're here sitting in these chairs right now is because God has devised a plan for you to get close to him. So he can show you that everything that you can possibly need, everything you're looking for in a guy or girl and some drugs and some alcohol and all these other things out there in the world, he has in him all the comfort, all the love. You know what I'm saying? Everybody just wants to be loved. That's what it's all about. No matter who you are, you can act as hard as you want to be, but you, inside you really want to be loved. Looking like a puppy dog and stuff. Man, come on now. Let me stop. Like, it was this one song I was listening to by this Christian rapper named Bizzle. And this kind of off subject, but he said some dudes think they go hard because they go off quick when they're just sensitive, and I was like, that's kind of true, you know, and I offended a couple people. It's like, they're just sensitive, but yeah. So God always is devising plans for us to be close to him, and so he can show you that he has everything you need, all the peace, everything you need. You know, I used to search for things and girls all the time, you know, search for comfort and for love and just to be wanted, you know, just to be wanted was enough for me, you know. I would always do that. And then it would come down to the point where I kept getting played. I kept getting did dirty. And then, like, you know what I'm saying, they would lead me into things that when it was over, thank God I'm still a virgin. They would lead me into things that when it was over, I would feel so bad about it. Like, but it felt so good in the moment, but why do I feel so bad about it? Because it's wrong. There's some of you right now, you walk through the halls and you're outside the church and you're doing things in the street and you're chilling with friends and stuff. Certain things you do that you know are wrong. You do a certain thing and you feel in your spirit, that was wrong. But you continue doing it. Because ain't nobody around you gonna stop you. And everybody around you is doing it too. They're probably feeling the same thing inside. But you know, for some reason, nobody, you don't even know if anybody has said it to you. But for some reason, the thing you did, it feels wrong now. Like, I wasn't supposed to do that. That was not supposed to happen that way. And like, God just wants us to be near him. God just wants us to be close to him. Because the truth of the matter is, if you're not under God, you're a slave to the world. And that's the truth. That's the truth. God said, either you be for me or against me. If you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. And that's the thing. There's no in-betweens, you know what I'm saying? Like God said, he'd rather you either be hot or cold. He'd rather you either be saved or just of the world, not in between. Because lukewarm, he'll spit you out of his mouth. How many of y'all like to drink lukewarm hot cocoa? You know what I'm saying? Like just warm. It's just warm. It's not even called hot cocoa anymore. It's just warm cocoa. It don't even taste right. You like, the heck? Like that? And that's how God feels. God just wants you switching in and out all the time. God wants you to just be with him. Because in him is everything you could possibly, I can't say this enough, everything you could possibly need. You know, this is a testimony to me because when I used to be depressed. I used to be left out. I used to be cast down. I used to be one of those guys that, you know, was just in my own corner, you know. And then I moved down, and it was so bad to the point where I was suicidal. I didn't fit in anywhere. Thing is, I was fitting in, but I wasn't fitting in to myself, you know. Because, like, I'll be out there, and I'll be cursing, and I'll be saying things. But then when I get home and I'm alone, I'm like, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't like doing this stuff. Why do I keep doing this stuff? And because I became enslaved to it. I became enslaved to the lifestyle. And I used to be rapping and cursing in my raps. And then when the song is over, I used to listen to the song again and be like, I can't show this to my nieces and nephews. I can't let my little brother listen to this. I can't even let my mom and my grandma listen to the song that I made that I'm so proud of. And everything I was doing, it just seemed like it wasn't working. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. You know, I used to go to church when I was younger, but we haven't went to church in like 5 years. So I didn't, you know what I'm saying? And that was when I started getting mature and started getting understanding. And so like, I didn't know that the church was the place you're supposed to run to. So I was left out to the point where I would just walk out of my friend's house and I would just be walking around late at night. It would be like 12, 1 o'clock at night. And I'd just be walking the streets crying because I didn't want to be over there with them. They were my friends, but they weren't my friends. I don't want to be over there with them. I'm saying everywhere I looked, it was bad. Everywhere I looked, and I didn't know where to turn, and I couldn't fit in. So I figured I'd take my life. You know, I stopped going to school. I started being late to school. I had 63 lates to school my sophomore year in high school. 63 lates, and I had about 25 absences. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't like being in school. So, and then the thing is, the truancy office is like the attendance police, basically. You know, they call your parents if you don't, like, you know, if you don't go to school, your parents get in trouble. So my mom started getting in trouble for me not going to school, and then my grades were bad. I started getting I was getting F's and D's, and that wasn't like me because I was always an A student. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, I just figured, you know, I'm causing my mom all this pain because I don't go to school. I can't go over there because I don't fit in and I don't like doing the things they do. I can't go to school because I know if I go to school, I'm going to be dragged back into those things and I can't pay attention. And all these things was crowding my mind to the point where one day I woke up for school and I told my mom the night before that I was not going to be late anymore. And I woke up for school. School started at 7:20 and it was 9:30. I woke up. And I looked at the clock, and what I said to myself, I said, it's time. So I used to have the shaving knife, and I walked downstairs, sat on my couch. I just sat there, just rocking back and forth. The knife had like a cover over it, and I just unsheathed it. It took me like 20 minutes to do, you know, just sitting here rocking, just keep hurting people. I keep hurting my mom. I'm not doing good in school. I keep being late. I can't fit in. I can't do all these things. I'm a slave to this. I'm a slave to this. Why can't I get away? You know what? I'm going to do it. So you know what? Know what I did? I took the knife and I put it to my neck. I put it to my throat. And I was sitting there rocking, and tears just started falling from my face, like drastically, like just pouring. And I was just like, and I just sat there and I was crying. And then my mom called me. She was like, "Michael, you ready for school?" And right then and there, I just threw the knife down. And I knew right there that that was God right there. Because after that, a few months later, we moved and we came here. And I came to this youth group. Now listen, I was cast down and I was gone and I was left out. Listen, I was left out, guys. And I knew that was God. I knew that was God speaking through my mom, because my mom, she would already, it was like 10:30. She would already thought I went to school already. How would she know I was home? So I knew that was God speaking through my mom right there. My mom didn't even know how she knew I was home, but she just felt I was home. So she said, my mom still to this day doesn't know, except for a sermon I preached at my uncle's church 2 Sundays ago. And I said it there, and she started bawling because she didn't even know what happened. Nobody knew. I just had started admitting this like a couple months ago. You know, nobody knew I actually tried to commit suicide. Nobody actually knew that. So when my mom called me, I knew it was the voice of God right then and there. And I threw the knife down, and I got up, and I put my backpack on, and I went to school. And then a couple months after that, we moved down here, and then my sister's boyfriend's sister went to this church. So she invited me to the youth group, you know, and I came here, you know. I used to be thugged out, you know, with the baggy t-shirts and the earrings, you know, and the backwards fitteds, you know. I used to be like, I used to always look at people like, weird, like, what's up, yo? You know what I'm saying? Like, because, you know what I'm saying? I was from New Jersey, you know what I'm saying? You had to look at people like that because people always try you. So, like, I just was walking through the youth group, you know, my brother. We just come in, we would just sit right in the back. You know, just chill, you know, just sit right in the back, you know. But the thing is, I always had a love for God. But, you know, I was always shy. And I don't know what happened. I don't know who preached that one of those Fridays, but something happened. I started hearing about Christian rapping. I never heard about Christian rapping before. And it was rapping about good stuff, rapping about change. And I was like, yo, I can rap about change. And I started doing it, and I was like, I'm starting to fit in. And then I saw kids here, young kids, worshiping God like crazy. Like, I'm like, man, all these kids, man, what they doing, man? I'm just sitting here like, you know what I'm saying, my foot started tapping. I'm like, what you doing, man? Stop. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm sitting here. And then suddenly, you know, I'm like, this is the place I have to be. This is my place. And then I started just reading my Bible and fasting and just talking to God and praying, and all these things happened. And then suddenly, Pastor Paul walked up to me and he's like, hey, man, you want to preach? I'm like, preach? I'm scared to talk in front of people. You know, like, I'm like, and it showed me how loving God. I was loving God. I was giving God my whole heart, giving God my everything. And just by that doing it, he was elevating me without me even seeing it. People were saying, I saw your progress. You know what I'm saying? I saw you doing this. I saw you doing this. I saw you doing that. And I'm like, how did you see me do that? And all I could do was just inside crying, like, I'm fitting in. I'm fitting, like, you understand? This blew my mind. He took me from being on a couch with a knife to my neck to being up on stages, preaching for kids, preaching for teens, preaching for people that had the same problem as me. He took me from that low spot up here. Because from a young age, he just put it in me that this world is nothing but vanity. People chase things all their lives that are not going to be there when they die. You could chase the money and keep chasing the money and keep chasing the money, but you can't take it with you when you die. And you know, who's to know where it goes? Who's to know? That's why I chase eternal things. That's why I just chase God now. I just got to chase God now, because everything I would ever need is in him. You know, one time my mom, she had to go up north for, I think it was a funeral or something. And me and Michael couldn't go because I had football. And he had, I don't know what he was doing, but he stayed home. So, and my mom gave us $20, you know. He gave us $20 each to eat for the weekend. And that's all the money we had. There was no food in the house, you know what I'm saying? So we had to use that $20 to eat. Amra, I came here for a Thursday service, and something in me just was like pulling me. Offering time came, but something in me was pulling me. Now, $20, you should give it to God. You said you want to give him your all, right? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm thinking about, and all these things started flashing to my mind. How am I going to eat? How am I going to do all these things? How am I going to eat? You know what I'm saying? We didn't have no food in the house, nothing to drink in the house at all. So the whole time I'm walking, I took the $20 bill out of my pocket. You know what I'm saying? I was working in the sound booth, and I started walking, like, just shaking the whole time, like, because I was really scared. Like, I've never, like, you know, been worried about eating before. You know what I'm saying? Mom always brought home food, all that kind of stuff, but I was really worried. So I was just shaking, and I came, and I put the $20 in there. And you know, that weekend, I had no money, but that weekend, I didn't even think about eating. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even think about the food, but the food came. I was eating. I had dinner. I had lunch. I had breakfast. I had snacks. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy. And the thing is, I didn't even think about the money that I had lost because God provided him, because I was just being faithful to him and I was showing him. The thing is, he wants to provide everything we could ever need. And he can. The thing he just wants you to do is he wants you to come to him. He wants you to cry out to him. He wants you to see that all you really need is him, because he's eternal. And the thing is, the Bible says, and the scripture says, that let us not focus on things that are physical. Let us not focus on the things seen, but the things not seen. Because the things that are seen are temporary, and the things that are not seen are eternal. So I'm like, oh man. It just keeps changing and changing me and changing me to the point where, like, I'm just being shaped and shaped and shaped till I get to my right direction. And that's what God wants you to see, that all these falsified things, you know what I'm saying? Like people, like, the excuse that always gets me is young people always say, I'm young, let me live my life. But the thing is, when you're on your deathbed, you're not going to be crying about the fact you didn't go to the club. You're not going to be crying about the fact you didn't try that drug. You're not going to be crying about the fact that you're still, you're not going to be crying about those empty things. You know what you're going to be crying about? You're going to be crying about the people that you didn't tell you love them. You're going to be crying about the people that you could have been there for more. You're going to be crying about the things that you didn't do emotionally, and all the things, like, you're not gonna be crying about all these things that the TV and the radio and all the songs today are trying to make you seem like you need to do. You're not. So I'm telling you, like, when you give your life to Christ, you start to realize a lot of things. You start to realize what's important. You start to realize it, and a lot of things that are going on are not important, because, you know, like, I've never tried drugs. I never tried alcohol. But I've seen the effects of it on the people around me. And when they're not drinking, they're talking about how they don't want to drink anymore. And when they're not smoking, they're talking about how they don't want to smoke anymore. And it's like, but before, last week when you tried it, you said that you wanted to do it. So what changed now? You know? That's what God just wants y'all to know, like, everything you possibly need. If you have anger right now, God just wants to be your joy. You know what I'm saying? If you're feeling hurt inside, God wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. He actually does. And yeah, so that's just my sermon right there.
Amen. Give it up for Michael again. All right, give it up for him again, man. Come on, huh? Don't be scared.